Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. There's a Department of Agriculture agent who stops at a Texas ranch and talks with an old rancher, and he tells the rancher, "I'm here to inspect your land." And the old rancher says, "Okay, but don't go in that field over there." And the agent said, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me. See that see this badge?" He holds up his badge and he says, "This badge says I'm allowed to go wherever I wish on any agricultural land, no questions asked. Do you understand that?" And the rancher said politely, go on and do it," and goes about his chores. Later, the rancher hears loud screams and sees the ag agent running for his life, and close behind him was the rancher's bull. And the bull was gaining with every step. And the ag agent is clearly terrified, so the old rancher throws down his tools and he goes over to the fence and yells at the top of his lungs, "Your badge, your badge, show him your badge." Authority can be a touchy subject for many people. Some don't like it. They might have an attitude that no one can tell me what to do. So there may be other things that are going on, like they might have been hurt by someone who is in authority. There could be many reasons. Some welcome authority. It can be provide protection, direction. There is a focus and accountability. Some just don't understand what authority is, especially when it comes to spiritual issues. One thing that spiritual authority is not, it is not an entitlement. There is nothing we could ever do to deserve what God desires to give. It is by grace that God blesses us. In our readings today, we see several accounts of authority, and I want to look at just three because there is a progression in each one of these and how they relate to us. So I want to look what they are. There's authority of the prophets, there's the authority of Jesus, and there's the authority of Scripture. And then I'll wrap up with a short couple of minutes on how that relates to we're going into an annual meeting, and I'll give the ministry side of my annual report to you here in this room. Authority, by definition, is power that is given to someone for a particular purpose. With authority, however, comes something that sometimes is forgotten, and that is responsibility. Because any authority can be abused or even misinterpreted. We see all through time, if one person abuses authority, often it will ruin other people's lives. If I were to ask you, how many of you trust politicians? Right, I might get a pretty distinctive answer. But are all politicians bad? No, I've known plenty of politicians personally, and there's a lot of good, honest politicians who have a genuine heart to do good, probably most of them. But let's look at our readings. So here is Moses in our Old Testament reading. He has been given direct authority by God, and this he's being open to God's bidding and his direction. And even though Moses had some of those howevers, remember the howevers I talked about last week? I'll do this, however, I can't talk right, or those kinds of things. As long as he listened and followed God's lead, he succeeded in what God led him to do. God knew what Moses would be up against on his journey, and he anointed Moses as a prophet. And on this journey through various lands with various influences all through Scripture, the prophets were the voices of God. They had the huge responsibility of bringing God's word and direction to the people. It was a serious calling, and it carried serious consequences, as we heard in our reading today, to those who would try to take God's people in another direction, or by trying to listen to false gods in the process. Their voice carried with them the very voice of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit was on them, and their authority came directly from God. Sometimes what they foretold didn't happen for years or maybe thousands of years. But they always kept the people on course, hopefully, and the hope of God's plan in their lives. So the prophet had a high calling in their lives. And again, the authority of the prophets was to assure God's plan for Jesus was carried out. That's what they were paving the way for. And that is exactly what God was telling Moses. I'm going to raise someone up. That someone he was speaking of is Jesus. And when that happened, it changed everything, as we have seen and looking over the last few weeks. Jesus was going to literally light up the world through all that he did, and continues to do so. And that brings us to the authority of Jesus. He has authority like none other. Why? Because he and the Father are one. His every move and every word were in direct relationship to the Father. In our reading today, it was no mistake that our coincidence that he was in that synagogue at that time when this demon-possessed man entered that synagogue. It was the Sabbath. Typically, a teacher would get up and just read old literature from other rabbis and the scripture, and that was it. But Jesus gets up, and it's different. Jesus didn't need to read Old Testament transcripts. He knows scripture. They are God-breathed. He saw them unfold through history. He knew the prophets. He knows what he wants to convey to the people. So his teaching is from the very heart of God. He is bringing it home, so to speak. Last week, I got a new computer because my old one was dying and the software was no longer supported the search engines that are out there. And now I'm savvy enough to get a computer set up and running. I can read the instructions and follow the directions, and I've accumulated enough knowledge over the years of working with computers. But I ran into some glitches in getting it configured the way I wanted it. So I called our son, Philip, who works in IT at Liberty University, and I told him my issues that I was having, and I gave him external control of my device. And he was whipping around. You can see the cursor going around from place to place and place, and 5 to 10 minutes later, it was finished. Anything else you want done, Dad? And why? Because he knows the integral parts of how a computer runs. He may say, he knows the very heart of the computer. His authority in the things of computers shines far over my limited knowledge. Jesus is God incarnate. And here he is in the synagogue, and he is teaching with authority because he is the authority. He knows the very heart of God. And he comes face to face with the demon-possessed man. And out of that, all who were present, look who recognizes him. Look who knows who he is. It's the demons, those in the spiritual realm. You see, Jesus came to set mankind free from evil. He came to bring new life to all who would receive him. And these demons taking up residence in this man are worried, but Jesus didn't want his identity released to the world yet. So his time has not come yet. So he silences the demons and casts them out and sets the man free. Now the people are curious, and we are told that the news spread quickly. Well, I guess so. When God is moving, when things are happening, when people are set free, the word is going to get around. This is when the crowds begin to get bigger and bigger around Jesus. As we read this account, we are once again forced into a question. Where would we put our place? Where would we put ourselves in that place, in that passage? One article I read said most of us would not be prideful enough to say that we would be in the place of Jesus. Most might place themselves as the ones watching, those who would be the other worshipers in the temple. Some might put themselves in the place of the man who was set free. Not necessarily demon possession, but certainly set free of sin, maybe of an illness or some other issue going on in their lives. But here's the good news. And I want you to hear this. Praise God, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, has given us the authority to say no to sin. Remember our teachings from a few weeks ago. He has anointed us with the power to become children of God. As such, he has given us the authority, not our authority, but his, to come against evil. It is a matter of choosing to come under that authority and listen to how he leads us. But listening is hard when we crowd our hearts and our minds with all kinds of stuff. It's hard to love someone when you allow bitterness towards that person or someone else to control you. It's hard to be generous when your attitude is always what's in it for me. It's hard to be loving when you allow rumors and bickering to control you. God wants each of us to be set free from sin. He wants us to be doing so much of what he calls us to do and to use us in so many ways. He wants us to move under his authority. He wants to offer that freedom to others. He wants a church that is calling on him and not being burdened by the shackles of sin. How do I know that? Because I've been there, like many of you. Scripture tells us he came to set the captives free. And that brings us to the last point of regarding authority that I wanted to bring up today. God has given us this wonderful written account of his love for us. It holds authority not because the church says so, even though it is one of the canons of the church. It holds authority because it is God's communication to us. As I have said before, it is God-breathed. The word of God comes from the highest authority there is, the very throne room of God. There is no other document that has survived like God's word has, nor so closely written to the times that it was revealed. No other so-called prophetic words have accomplished what the words of the prophets have accomplished and have come true. We need to hold the words of Scripture close to our hearts. We need to let them continue to unfold and speak to us and be a part of us as we read it. Too many people today try to apply only just a little part of the Scriptures. I can live by this part, but I just want to chunk that part. I don't like what that says. That part is just too hard to live by today. Well, God's Word is so much more than that. As I alluded to some last week, the Word given to us is not just a historical document. It is a testimony of God's love. It's prophetic. It builds us up. It gives us hope and seek when we seek it. It is unlike any other. It gives us freedom. It gives us boundaries. It's always been with God, and it always will be with us. We are answerable to it. It has validity and comes alive in the believer's life. God has given us so much to help us carry out his purpose to his glory. And guess what, folks? As he has given us the authority to carry what he has given us so long ago into the world today, as he directs us through his Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said in what we call the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now Jesus said, how much authority is his? All authority. It doesn't matter if one chooses to believe that or not. All authority on heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. He is God. And Jesus gave the church a command to go. Go make disciples. And we gloss over this part sometimes, teaching them all I have commanded you. We go under his authority, and we do all that he has promised to do through him. He says, I am with you always to the ends of the age. And the end of the age hasn't come yet. And here's where I want to segue into my annual meeting address for a few minutes, just from the ministry point of view. The business part we'll handle over in the parish hall. Some have asked me on occasion, what is our vision for the church? Well, I think Jesus gave us his vision. I typically don't follow a single vision strategy, and here's why. When you have single vision, you can easily lose sight of what God might be doing through other people or raising up within the body. Years ago, I knew a parish that had a broad vision of reaching out to others, caring for the needy, growing in their faith. And in that parish, new ministries were planted. Several brought up into full-time ministry. Several people going out to get ordained. A new rector came into that parish with a real heart for mission work, going on mission trips, sending out mission teams. Those are really great things. They were sending out missionaries to Africa, coming back and reporting. But after a while, others didn't see that vision for them necessarily. They thought it was good what they were doing, but they became frustrated. They complained that all we do is focus on missions, not that we shouldn't have missions, but that's all they focused on. Some began to leave because they weren't able to grow in what God was calling them to do. When I was in seminary, I took a course on leadership, taught by a priest who used to be in this diocese, as a matter of fact. His name is Charles Fulton. His strategy of leadership was based on the fivefold ministry and setting up the vestry under that model. I did that when I became rector here 13 years ago. And other churches have called me, actually, from that knew me, and asked about that as well. And a lot of parishes now are using the same model. For example, if we have the vestry set up in these categories: evangelism, sharing Christ with others; Christian formation, growing in our faith; pastoral care, caring for one another; outreach, helping and reaching in ministry to others and with others; and administration of a core of the body to focus on the work of the Lord. Every ministry of the church usually falls under those categories somewhere. When someone comes to Christ for the first time through evangelism, they need to grow in their faith. They will discover what God is calling them to do. And here's what happens. As someone grows in their faith, they might have a deep desire to share Christ with others as well. And so how can we as a parish do that? I say, let's get you involved in evangelism, get you plugged in to the ministries we have in evangelism. When someone says, the Lord has really given me a heart to care for others, and I say, okay, well, let's get you plugged into pastoral care, and you can help those. Deacon Ross has done a wonderful job in pastoral care and getting teams together. Jesus never had a single vision. When someone says they want to grow in their faith, I say, okay, Christian formation, let's get you plugged in. They say, I've got a real desire to lead a Bible study. I said, let's get you in a Bible study so you can learn how to do that. His vision to reach the lost and to make disciples, to grow, to go and to grow. That's what Jesus called us to do. Who would think a parish our size would have 40 individuals sponsoring a child through World Vision? World Vision, several years ago on a visit here, told me that a typical megachurch, now you know what a megachurch is, right? Thousands of people, only has about 30 sponsors to children through World Vision. At that time, we had 30 sponsors. It was born out of a heart of Beatty Collins, simply introduced it to others, and others' heart fell on that. Now teams are going to San Nicolas almost every year to come back and report to us on what's going on. Who would think that through Operation Christmas Child that we would have a response like we did? When Andy and Becky Carlson introduced it to Brenda to become our coordinator for this parish, a lot of people jumped in and grabbed hold of that. Outside organizations like the local Key Club from one of the high schools jumped in to help us. People just see the vision and they get caught into it and want to do something with it. Now we're an area center for Operation Christmas Child. And I could go on and on, touching the community through the Flower Festival and Craft Fair. That started out of a vision years ago, before I came here. And Sarah DeZago and others have grabbed hold of that and taken us through the years. And it's a way to reach the community, to share the love of the Lord when they come here to visit us through these things. Bible studies, Wednesday night teaching, home group, prayer night, A pastoral team, again, led by Deacon Ross. Our music ministry, led by Carla, and a tremendous choir that we have. All these things, Jesus said, go and grow. I think the vision of the entire body of Christ should be just that. Go reach the lost and make disciples and teach them. That is exactly what Jesus did. And through his authority, that is what he asked us to do. I shared with some of you over the past few weeks what happened as I was praying one evening before bed. I don't know if I shared it in a sermon or not. This was back in December timeframe, maybe late November. And I felt like the Lord saying, there was a wave coming to Nativity. It included youth as well. And I shared that with the vestry, and I shared that with the Tuesday night prayer group that met that month. And I shared that with a pastor of a large non-denominational church here in the Sarasota area. And I was at a conference sponsored by our diocese a week and a half ago. And this person was one of the speakers that was brought in to speak to us. And I shared with him after his talk about that vision I had. He says, I believe that. I have seen that too. So I know people's hearts are wanting to have something, and they're going to be coming to the parishes all over this community. So I told the vestry, let's get ready. We have taken some steps in doing that. Let's get ready for those people who are coming. On our retreat that I focused on, that I told you about a week and a half, that I went to a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, the focus of that retreat was worship. Not music per se, but our personal and corporate attitude towards worship. Giving ourselves to the Lord. You've heard me preach on that before. How we give our worship encompasses a lot of things in our lives. But at the end, the leader was leading that was leading us, he took us into prayer. And he said, pray what you see. And with my eyes closed, now some of you might think this is a little strange. I do not. But with my eyes closed, I saw a lot of people's backs to me. And then as I was praying for those people that I saw the backs, one by one, they started turning. There was a girl that turned. There was a guy that turned as I was praying. I was praying for those people. I looked at that as praying for this community, praying for those people who need the Lord in their lives, praying for those people who are hungry for something special in their lives. As I combine those two about the wave and about that, what I saw as I was praying, God's going to do something. I know he's going to do something. And I want us to be ready for that. I believe all those things are related to one another. I believe God is going to do something amazing in this area through all the churches who are open to him. And I don't want us to miss it, but embrace what he calls us to do. To go and to grow. I want to tell you how blessed Debbie and I are to be a part of this ministry with you. No pastor can do the work of a parish alone. It takes all of us working together. We're the body of Christ. It is both an honor and a privilege to share in this ministry with you as your rector. I want to thank all of you for that. And the opportunity to serve you in the coming years. It is a blessing to be here. And I want all of us to know that I love you all and to know that as we seek the Lord and what he has for us, as we open our hearts more and more to him, to be ready for what God wants to do. And if you have something burning in your heart, something that you really want, come and talk to me. My door, I have an open door policy. I've told everybody that. Unless I have an appointment, I have an open door policy to come by and talk to me. And let's discuss it. Because I believe God's going to do something wonderful. And I want all of you to be a part of that. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit and the direction that you have given us, that we can, as a body, operate under your authority that you have given us to go and to seek those who are lost, to grow in you as people come to us. And as people are just as amazed in that synagogue that when they saw Jesus teach, may they be so amazed at what they will learn through you, Lord God, and about you. So, Father, I just ask that you would just use this congregation. And I pray not only for us, but for parishes all across the denominations and non-denominations in this area who are seeking out you, Lord God. I pray for pastors that your word would come forth through them. I pray for people who have not heard about you, that they would hear the word, Lord God. And I pray that you would raise us up, all the parishes in this community, to be ready for that, to be seeking after you when people come to them. So, Father, I ask that you would use us as we step out of this place. I've said this many times. You are stepping into the mission field. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to San Nicolas, although we do. But all we are called to do is just to go. So, Father, wherever you send us, even if it's next door, that you would use us mightily next door. So, Father, I ask that you would just move by your Spirit through this congregation. And we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you honor for all that you are doing in all the areas of our ministry that you have given us. And I pray that you would continue to raise it up, Lord God, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.